How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 28th day of March 2023. We have some semblance of the gang all here. JR here. Simmer not here. Hammer here. No guest host today. Hammer's going to have to carry the show for the next 3 hours and 49 minutes. Let's see how that goes. Jamie Baker will be back tomorrow. Here's your weather forecast for today. You are waking up to what will be a sunny day with a high of 4 degrees. It was actually a really nice day yesterday. I think it got a little warmer than the forecast said that it would. It was nice late in the afternoon. Tomorrow, sun and clouds, high of 8. That sounds nice. Thursday, 2. Now, here's where the discrepancy kind of lies, actually more toward the weekend. Because I looked on my weather app this morning. I just like to fast forward it because it's 10 days. And I go, and I just look at the temperatures. I go, are we going to get one of these? Like, when are we going to get one of these 10 plus days that we always get in March that gives us great hope for spring that we haven't had this year? It's just been pretty gloomy and kind of cool or cold.
Are you looking for a pick me up or something?
I was looking for a temperature pick me up.
Okay.
And so I'm scrolling and I'm seeing some fours and some fives and an eight.
That's all right.
That's okay. It's the end of March. We should have had all of these by these should be well in the rear. This is 2 weeks ago weather. Anyway, I get to Saturday and I see 13 and I go, whoa. In fact, I was Tyler Cleven when I met Claude Giroux. Holy smokes. That's what I was. 13. I'll take that all day long. Well, then I come in and I see the official Environment Canada forecast for Saturday and they're calling for a high of 5. I'm going to have one weather app saying 13 and the other says 5. That's just not right.
Well, go with the one that says 13.
Probably will.
That should be your best friend right now.
That's the optimistic view of things. Anyway, we'll see how it all turns out. As you wake up this morning, though, we're sitting at -4. Jamie Baker. Bakes was here on the show yesterday. He'll be on the show again tomorrow. Yesterday, he was in on the morning show, as I just said. I just repeated myself. And then had to fill in for Brad Smith on the pre- and post-game show because Smitty was coaching at the U18 AAA final, his Kempville 73s.
Come on, Smitty.
Overtime win last night to go up 2-1 in the best of 5. You got to bring that bad boy home, Kempville. Anyway, Bakes and Smitty had to do a late flip in their game duties. So Bakes was in on the pre- and post-game show again last night. I heard him on the pre-game show. He sounded chipper. Despite being here on the show for the entirety, going to work, and then going for the pre-game show. But I did not hear the post-game show. But he said to Steve Lloyd, I got probably 45 minutes for a post-game show, and that's all I got. Then I'm out. So
I heard him on the post-game show.
Yeah, you were driving home.
And he's always bringing it. He was red hot. That was the ultimate Iron Man there.
Wow.
For radio. That was the morning show.
Yeah, okay.
And then heading off to his own job.
Yes.
His
digital marketing professional.
Well-paid job. And then he came back to us, into the ditches there,
yep.
And did the pregame and the postgame. Now, not to sell it short, but let's face it, the pregame was filled with a fantastic interview by Steve Lloyd and Gary Bettman.
It was.
And then our insider with Darren Dreger.
Yes.
So Bakes only had about an hour there,
so
which was a good time.
So what you're saying is he rode the coattails of our other two guests and just kind of slid right into the game broadcast.
I'm just saying it was a lucky broadcast to be a part of when he had such a tremendous day as he did.
Okay, I'll be bringing that up with him when he rejoins us tomorrow. The fact that you sold his pregame show performance short. Now, what I was most concerned about on your drive home.
Yes.
You're listening to him. Okay. The goal of you know, the radio machine is not just to have noise coming out of the box, but for the noise actually to have some sense of either meaning, entertainment, something, some combination thereof. Was there any of that, or was it just incoherent babble?
It was not even close to incoherent babble.
Because that's what it sounded like you were alluding to.
No, I'm just saying that he had a little bit of luck that he didn't have to pull a full shift in the pregame.
All right.
And I'm sure he appreciated that as well. The postgame show, he was all over it. He and Creech were knocking it down.
All right.
Calling it as it is.
Which was what?
which was, hey, thank God for special teams and goaltending, because everything else with the Sens last night was pretty much tough to watch.
First period was good. I thought the first period was very good. And then the second period, it was like, whoa, what happened to the team? And then
and the third period was sort of the same.
Yeah, maybe a little bit better.
Maybe.
But a tiny bit. But three power play goals, little Mads Sogardi in action. 5-2 is the final. Sens win. Bob's your uncle. Take it. Hey, no pictures in the scorecard for every game. These are the games you just want to win, baby. Keep those ultra-slim playoff hopes alive.
You want to win them, and we don't need a deep dive into the game now. You want to win them, but you want to kind of help yourself, too, where you're not chasing the game when you're not a man up. And it just seemed to me most of that game last night, they were chasing it. Chasing it as a segue to my drive home as I was listening to Bakes, because there was obviously I don't normally see this on the Queensway after a Sens game because usually there's a lot of traffic heading back into town. But as soon as I got on the 417, I looked in my rear view because I like to get, you know, middle lane, fast lane as quickly as possible because there's a lot of traffic. And I see a car off in the distance. I'm like, ooh. And I can tell that car is going a pretty good clip.
Yep.
I look back ahead of me. I look back in the rear view. Zoom. Gonzo's already by me, and he must have been maybe close to 750 meters behind me, and he just zoomed by me.
This is like at Eagleson or something in Kanata?
No, this is even before Terry Fox.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had just gotten on the Queensway?
I had just gotten on the Queensway, yeah. And I was already doing like a buck 10.
And he's heading toward downtown.
And he's heading towards downtown.
He's heading east.
And now we're weaving. We're juking and we're jiving in the lanes. This this reminded me
he
of Florida.
Is. When you
he
say
is.
We, it's not the Royal
me.
We. Yeah,
yes.
You're not chasing him down.
No.
You're not going Smokey and the Bandit here.
Not my Mazda 3.
I got to see what that guy's up to.
This was not keeping up to, I don't know what he was driving. But he was juking and jiving through all the lanes, including the carpool lane, kicking up dust because everything's dried now on the Queensway. All you got the residue left over. And I'm like, wow. This is one of those moments, and I haven't had many of them, where I would really love to see that guy get pulled over.
Oh.
And if there's a time and there's a place where you will, it's after a Sens game, because there's plenty of police officers along the Queensway.
Are there?
Yep. I always see them. There's always one in the median, and then there's always one kind of hidden Castle Frank overpass there.
Yep.
That's kind of right beside the bridge. I'm like, if this guy keeps going the way he's going, I'm going to see him down the Queensway. And that's just those moments where you just love to give a little toot toot. Like, I knew you back over at Terry Fox, and I was hoping for this. And then
is that the way a Mazda 3 horn sounds, by the way?
If
it is, I trade it in.
You know what? It does.
It's a pretty weak horn.
It's not a strong
like,
horn.
Is there anything worse than having what you think is a nice car with a weak horn?
Well, I don't know if I'd call a Mazda 3 a nice car.
No, it's an okay car.
It's
a decent car.
It does its job.
It gets you around. Point
but
A
yeah,
to point B.
When you're like, toot, toot, you're not scaring anybody.
No.
So
Come on, Mazda engineers.
I start heading down the hill on the Queensway just past Moody.
Yep.
What do I see in the right-hand lane? Pulled over, I see the flashers on. I'm like, ooh, I wonder if this is the gentleman right here that the cops found. I get a little bit closer. I even get into the middle lane. So I've got the lane separation for emergency
for
vehicles.
Safety, yes.
Take a look. There's my buddy. Got nailed by the police officers.
Ooh.
I did not give the old toot toot.
No.
I imagine it was probably for reckless driving, not speeding, because of just the traffic. But that made me feel so good.
Was the cop even out of the car?
He was out of the car and he was in the window. And it looked like he was giving it to him. Like there was fingers pointing. There was some action going on.
Yeah.
Cop was pissed.
Okay.
Like, what are you doing acting like that?
Oh, don't blame him.
It was one first time ever that somebody has blown by me and then just acted like an idiot on the highway where finally I drive by them and go, you got him.
Still would have liked to hear
Thank
the toot toot.
Oh, no. That would have ruined it. That guy would have laughed while he's receiving his ticket. Most likely a court summons as well, because I've been in those shoes too.
Yeah. Yes, you have, as a matter of fact. All right. Well, cheers to that guy.
It made me feel good.
And the local constabulary for getting those nefarious criminals off our roads. All right. We got lots to get to on this Tuesday morning, including all the details on the Sens win 5-2 over Florida last night. What it all means in terms of the playoff picture. Slim hopes, though they may be, they are still there. All right, so we'll go through all of that. It was a fairly busy Monday night around the NHL, and actually the rare night in which a Maple Leaf fan was actually cheering for the Sens because the Ottawa Senators winning that game clinched a playoff spot for the Toronto Maple Leafs. All right, so we got that. Of course, all the details. We'll hear from Gary Bettman, who was here, there, and everywhere around Ottawa. He was delayed getting into town, but he packed a lot into a short amount of hours, including being at the game last night. So we're going to hear from the NHL commissioner, the very latest on the sale of the Sens, location of the prospective new arena, etc., etc. So we've got all that for you. We've got Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider, to join us coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Louis Robitaille, head coach of the Gatineau Olympique. We got two great major junior hockey teams, both with a very good chance of winning their leagues and heading to the Memorial Cup, of course. 67s, we all know about that. Best OHL team in the regular season. They'll start the playoffs coming up on Thursday. Gatineau will start on Friday. They've had a terrific regular season as well. Louis Robitaille will join us later on in the show to talk about that. We got some winning for you, including two more code words. We're giving away Artem Zub jerseys all this week. And speaking of the 67s, we got an all-day 67s playoff ticket giveaway going on every single hour starting next hour. Pair of tickets to see Game 1 coming up on Thursday night at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau. We'll tell you how you win them coming up. And details on the Sens 5-2 win over Florida coming up next right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, welcome back. 6:27 on this Tuesday morning. It's JR. Hammer's here. Simmer's on holidays this week. He'll be back next week. Jamie Baker was on yesterday. He was here. There was too much. He even said himself, too much Jamie Baker yesterday. Day off today for him. Working his regular job. He'll be back tomorrow. We have a series of guest hosts throughout the rest of the week, but we got lots to get to today. We're going to hear again from Gary Bettman, his day in Ottawa yesterday, which included visits with the mayor and the NCC. He was at the game yesterday. Quite obviously, he had come with his talking point, which I heard him say on our, because I think we, Lady had the very first interview with him on the pregame show. Then he did an exclusive with CTV Ottawa and Patricia Bowl. And then he did a just sort of a general media scrum. And then he was on the Sportsnet broadcast last night as well. And I think he said the same line on all four, which is the only place the Ottawa Senators are moving is if they're moving is downtown. He said that one every single time. So somebody had scripted that for him. And the commissioner, as we know, is very good with his words. So we're going to hear from him coming up on the state of the sale and the new arena project, such as it is. So we'll have that for you throughout the morning as well. Okay, so we mentioned we've got an Ottawa 67s all-day playoff ticket giveaway today. All right, we got a pair of tickets every single hour starting next hour right up until 6 o'clock tonight. I believe that's 10 pairs. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
He's using his fingers.
12. One, two, three, four.
Double up.
No, it'll end at five.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry. No tickets this hour. No tickets in the 5 o'clock hour. I knew that didn't make sense because I know that we broadcast 12 hours a day locally and we have 10 pairs of tickets. So the all day ticket giveaway starts at seven and ends at five. That makes sense?
Half a day ticket giveaway.
No. Don't confuse people. Pair of tickets for game one of the OHL Eastern Conference quarterfinal, yes, against the Oshawa Generals at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau. Again, if you haven't heard, of course, World Men's Curling Championship is taking over TD Place Arena starting this weekend. In fact, they've already put the rings down. The ice is already remade, so the 67s are already officially out, and they'll be playing, well, if they need to, up to the first three home games at the Slush Puppy Center. If somehow this series got to a seventh game, which it shouldn't, 67s are by far the better team. That game would be at TD Place Arena, but the other three will all be at the Slush Puppy Center, starting with game one Thursday night at 7 o'clock. All right, this is what you're going to be listening for. Don't call us now. This is what you're going to want to be listening for next, starting next hour to win a pair of game one tickets.
To the backhand forehand, he scores!
All right, there's our friend Kenny Walls with the call of somebody's overtime winner, Vinny Rohr, I believe it was. All right, so when you hear Kenny's call at some point in the 7 o'clock hour, that's your cue to call. When you hear it, what are you feeling? How many calls you want
to
answer?
Do not say 67th caller. All right, it's just you and me today, okay? And if you want me to pay attention to your instructions off the air, then I can't be answering 67 phone calls. So, hey, it's up to you. However much of my attention you want.
Doesn't sound like it is.
It is up to you.
Doesn't sound like it's up to me at all.
I'm just letting
you. Just don't make it the 67th caller. I'm way too busy in here.
Okay, I don't sound like AJ. It's just how much of my attention do you want during commercial breaks?
Let's go with,
You're using your hands again.
We're going to go with caller 24.
Okay.
Because it's been 24 years since the 67s won the Memorial Cup. Okay? Caller 24.
Okay.
That's for each of the 3 hours here on the show that we're giving away tickets.
It's 24.
24th caller. When you hear the... One more time.
To the backhand forehand. He scores!
There you go. 24th caller, 613-750-1200, star 1200, free call and bell. You're off to game one of the OHL East Conference quarterfinal, 67s and Generals. By the way, the game will be heard on Brother Station 580 CFRA because we got a Sens game on Thursday as they'll host the Philadelphia Flyers. All right, we'll tee up that game a little bit, but let's go through last night's game at Canadian Tire Center as Ottawa, with just 9 games to go in the season, pretty much, as we decided yesterday, 8-1 at the very worst, maybe even 9-0 to make the playoffs. We know it's a long shot, but until you're dead, you're still alive. So they needed to get a win, and they got off to a good start.
In behind the net it comes, back to the point. Shabbat takes it off the boards, eludes Duke, and sends it in, scores! Brady Tkachuk takes the feed, 1-0 Ottawa.
That was a beautiful play by Thomas Shabbat at the blue line to elude the Panthers' forechecker, and then swiftly got to the middle of the ice. Brady Tkachuk got himself into an open spot, and one-timer into the back of the net for a 1-0 Sens lead. They would score later on for a 2-0 lead. A goal that was initially given to Erik Brännström, but as I looked through my scoring summary this morning and then went to the official NHL.com scoring summary, I see this goal has been credited now to Derek Brassard. So the heater that Brännström had been on with two goals, he had 2 goals in his entire career up until 2-3 games ago. Then he scored. And then it looked like he had scored again, 2 goals in 3 games. You can take last night's goal off the board. Unfortunately, it was credited at the end of the day to Derek Brassard. Anyway, that put the Sens up 2-0. Then came the second period. That was not a good period for the Ottawa Senators. You could tell right from the start that either Paul Maurice had torn the paint off the walls of the Panther dressing room or something had gone on, because the Panthers were a much better team in the second period. Was evidenced by the flow of play, the shot counter, everything. They got a goal from Gustav Forsling to make it 2-1. They had the run of the play pretty much the entire period. If I had to guess kind of what was the turning point last night, maybe this goal.
And Brady Tkachuk gets it back to Stützle. Stützle along the boards. Wheels it low. Centering pass. Batherson gets it across to Brink. It scores! The one-timer from the Cat makes it 3-1 Ottawa.
Meow!
There you go. Alex DeBrincat with the power play goal. The second of 3 on the night for Ottawa. Power play goals, that is, that put the Sens up 3-1. And eventually, they would go on to a 5-2 victory over the Florida Panthers. That makes them and puts them within 5 points now of Pittsburgh in the final playoff spot. With 8 games to go, the Penguins do have a game in hand. They are now just 2 points behind Florida, and even in games played with the Panthers. And, of course, they play in Florida next week. So they can reel the Panthers in all on their own. They don't need help on the out-of-town scoreboard. Out-of-town scoreboard is going to have to help reel the Penguins in. That's the reality of the situation. That's why the hopes for a playoff spot are as razor-thin as they are. But they kept them alive last night with the victory. Here's head coach DJ Smith's thoughts on last night's win.
You know, Sogi obviously looks comfortable, but the penalty kill went clean. Did what they had to do tonight, and the power play. I mean, that's kind of the recipe that got us going. Earlier in the year, the kill was good in the power play, and again tonight.
There you go, DJ Smith. You can hear the thoughts from him on the game in its entirety on our website at tsn1200.ca. I see the crowd was announced at 16,000, and credit to the crowd, credit to the people in the crowd. whoever was that started, and I'm guessing 300 level, who had this going at one point in the game. If you didn't hear it and you're going, I think I hear what that's at. That's Brady's Better. And that came up, twice during the
game?
Twice.
I didn't know what it was the first time because, again, I catch it so late and I take my headphones off to listen. It's all just mumble jumbo. I've got no idea what's being said. But at the end of the game, when some people had already left, I could make it out at that point that, oh, Brady's Better. That's a great chant.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, so credit to whoever started. Grassroots, I'm guessing 300 level, where the real
always.
Fans are. Always. Who got that going a couple of times last night. And, of course, the Tkachuk clan was there. Keith was there. And happy birthday, by the way, to Keith Tkachuk, 51 years old today.
Looking good.
Papa
still.
Papa Tkachuk. In all ways. On the scoreboard, on the score sheet, Brady Tkachuk got the best of his brother last night. He got a goal and an assist. Matthew was kept off the score sheet. He's had a terrific season. But he did not hit the score sheet last night in the victory.
Yeah, the most that Matthew could do was a little nudge here. I remember a little save that Sogard made. I think that was in the third period where then Tkachuk skated by and then gave him a little punch in the chest, a little nudge in the chest. Like, all right, I see what you're trying to do. Nobody, and they didn't bite on it at that point. Matthew Tkachuk was pretty quiet for the entire game, and Brady Tkachuk was lights out.
Matthew Tkachuk played 25 minutes in that game last night. That's a lot for a forward. Now, they were chasing the game for most of it. Five shots on goal, three hits. Yeah, he was for a quiet game, he was still in the middle of a lot of stuff.
He tried to stir it up.
Yeah.
He tried to get something going, and at one point he did when he took the little jab at the glove on Sogard as well. He was just trying to get Sogard off his game a little bit, and Sogard wasn't having any of it. And you're wondering at a point because, I mean, the Panthers, hey, when you're not scoring goals like they weren't last night, you're trying to mix it up and knock the goaltender off his game.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you need the ref to take care of some business here. You can't continuously keep jabbing and nudging and knocking them down. Because if it was happening at the other end, you know there would be a call. Just because you're down does not mean you get liberties with the goaltending.
I don't know. If Brady was doing the same thing at the other end, I don't know that he would have gotten a call. I don't know that Matthew gets away with more than Brady. I think Brady gets away with a fair. Because if they wanted to, they wanted to call it by the letter of the law. Both of those guys would spend most, Brady Tkachuk probably is either punching somebody, slashing something, getting punched, getting slashed every time he goes to the bench. While the game is ongoing,
I don't mind the little nudges in that. It's when the referee probably did not see it, and it wasn't Matthew. It was a different Florida Panther, but just pretty much dove in and knocked Sogard down. My thought was because you could see a little conversation on the TV screen that the referee was having. I think they felt that the Sens defenseman knocked the Carolina Panther into Sogard, which knocked him down, which wasn't the case at all.
Right. Anyway.
Just the freebies. Come on.
Matthew Tkachuk, didn't hit the score sheet, but you at least noticed him. You know who I'd forgotten, and then, because I was not at the game, so they mentioned that Colin White got a video tribute in the first TV timeout, which was nice. And then I completely forgot that he was playing. You know how much he played last night?
Well, fourth line. Well, if Matthew Tkachuk is eating up 25 of those minutes, I'm going to guess that he was under 10. I'll go seven.
Six.
All right.
6 minutes for Colin White last night.
Yikes.
So, yeah. He was, well.
Well, we saw it here.
Yeah.
The end of his career as an Ottawa Senator, right? The impact on the game just wasn't consistent. And I don't know if injuries had caught up to him or just didn't have that step in the NHL that he had in college hockey and the World Juniors that put him on the map. But he just. His impact on an NHL hockey game was just not there.
8 goals and 15 points in 60 games so far this year for Colin White. Now he's playing on a $1.2 million contract, and he's of course got bought out by the Sens. So he's got a nice little chunk of change coming each of the next 4 years. But he's now getting into a territory of, I say he's playing himself out of the league, but he's going to be probably in around the salary he is now and being a fourth line guy. Like he's not impacting anything whatsoever, which surprises me. Again, I go back to when he played for the U.S. at the World Juniors, the one in Montreal where he got 8 goals. At that point, it had already been drafted by the Sens. That was one where Shabbat was the MVP. But Colin White was, he was lights out, man. He got to the areas of the in front. I just remember thinking, this guy's going to be able to score at the NHL level because he gets the areas where the puck is. That's how he scored most of those 8 goals in that World Junior. And
it's also
whether it was injury, circumstance, opportunity, combination thereof, just, you know, started out so-so here in Ottawa. The 1 year he played center, right, between Kachuk's rookie year and Mark Stone.
Got the contract.
Got the contract off of that one, and ever since then, it's just been downhill.
Well, and you know, and you said it, he goes with the dirty areas, but the dirty areas in college and at the World Juniors, I think, is a lot different than the dirty areas in the NHL when you're the size of Colin White. And I think, unfortunately, he just didn't have the size. You see the punishment Brady Kachuk takes, and he can still withstand it and still score some goals. Colin White is not the size of Brady Kachuk, and unfortunately, he just kind of succumbs to that difference between the big blue liners, the big guys in the NHL, and his size.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So anyway, he was not much of a factor. I actually, to be honest with you, didn't even bring him up yesterday because I forgot he was on Florida.
Well, when I saw the video tribute, I was like, geez, it felt like he's been away longer. He would have been back in Ottawa already at some point, but yeah. And then there's the video tribute. And the only memory I have of last night of a little scrum and Matthew Joseph coming in behind and knocking his helmet onto his face and them having a good chuckle like they were old pals.
Right. Matthew Joseph was back in the Sens lineup last night, so he got back. It looks like Cam Talbot. I heard Darren Dreger in our pregame show. Darren's got some sort of pipeline right to Cam Talbot. I'm guessing probably agent. Sounds like Cam Talbot is going to back up on Thursday night, probably to Mads Søgaard. So that probably means that Dylan Ferguson is on his way back to Belleville. You read the tea leaves. And we'll see what they're off today. So back on the ice tomorrow. I know at one point Shabbat got dinged up. He came back. I know Hamonic took a shot off the skate boot that looked pretty painful. But he came back as well. That guy's a warrior, man.
He came back and set up Stützle's power play goal.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
He's on the power play. Anyway, we'll see what they're like tomorrow. And there's been the talk, of course, that Tyler Cleven could draw into the lineup potentially on Thursday. So it's for one of those two guys, if they are. And again, they did come back, so I don't want to say that either of them is injured or potentially also just subbing in for Nick Holden as well.
Well, it looks like a Shabbat wrist. It looks like he banged that up, maybe took a slash or something. Dean Brown mentioned that on the broadcast, and that's why he wasn't on the power play late, and Travis Hamonic got himself a shot to be out there. But to see Cam Talbot come back and then Mads Søgaard, he's going to continue to start, and Dylan Ferguson's going to go down. And I don't want to pick at a scab over the weekend, and I said it before the game, and you and Bakes talked about it yesterday, that I know you're not going to play Mads Søgaard back-to-back, but coming off the games that he had against the Bruins and the Lightning, why are you not going back to him on Saturday night in New Jersey? Especially now that he was the odd man out, that he was going to be sent down when Cam Talbot was done. If Mads Søgaard's your start of the future and he can go every other day, why isn't he playing every other day?
Well, Dave Poulin's point on that was because he hasn't played a lot. Because I asked him that probably earlier last week. Probably when they decided to start Ferguson in the Pittsburgh game a week ago, which seemed like, you know, that's when they were going into the back-to-back games with Pittsburgh and Boston. And you're thinking, okay, Pittsburgh is the team they got to catch. It's the first game of the back-to-back. It's the, air quotes, easier game looking at it because Boston is the best team in the league. Who would you rather have, start that game? Your presumptive number one guy. But up until then, you know, and he had a decent game against Toronto, but they had lost. And before that, it had been a struggle along with the rest of the team on the road trip for Mads Søgaard. But the explanation from Dave Poulin last week was, even though they weren't playing a lot of back-to-backs, that he hasn't played a lot of hockey and you're just concerned about, you know, overtaxing him, fatigue, etc. For me, I kind of look at it and go, I think he should be able to play every other game, but I'm not 22 years old and a rookie in the National Hockey League playing goal. So that was Dave's thought on why it may have played out the way it did. If Mads Søgaard plays on Saturday against New Jersey, do they win that game? I don't know about that. I mean, the fourth goal, the winning goal, was not a great goal. I think we all agree on that. But I don't know that we sit here and say that Ferguson was the reason they lost the game.
No, I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say that Mads Søgaard got you a better chance. Will give you a better chance to win that game. just from the previous two games and Dylan Ferguson coming off of illness or injury or whatever it was, right? I would have stuck with it. But, hey,
can't we always say when a team loses? Yeah, but if they had started the other goalie.
But I can say that I said it before the game even started. I can say it, and I got proof with witnesses in my living room.
All right.
Like, why are they going with Mads? Like, just go down with your future.
Anyway,
that's all.
He played last night, played well, made one.
Excellent again.
3-2. Who was it that had the chance right this? He kind of laid down his 6'7" leg and got it right across. It was a giveaway in the Ottawa zone. I don't remember who it was.
There's plenty of those.
But anyway, that was kind of the one big save he was required to make. And that was as much due to just how big he is. But hey, you can't teach big, as they say. And he used all of his 6'7" or 6'8" on that save. And the Sens go on to a 5-2 win. So as mentioned, they're off today and then back on the practice ice tomorrow. Next game is Thursday. Philadelphia Flyers in town. Flyers been here this year? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So this is not a Claude Giroux sort of list. Well, actually.
Well, he met his old team last night.
Yes, that's back-to-back Claude Giroux.
Was it 20 games?
Yeah, or whatever. Anyway, Philadelphia's in town. Then, of course, the Leafs coming up on Saturday before the Sens head out for a 3-game road trip in Columbus on Sunday. They're in Florida next Tuesday, a week from tonight. And then they'll also play in Carolina. So 8 games to go. Still 5 points back in the playoff spot, so still ultra-slim playoff hopes. All right, let's get some texts. 12-1200. Since JR didn't trademark it, can I get trademark Until You're Dead, You're Alive from Triple D? You know what? As I said it, I said
no.
That's not, but I'm not going to stop every time I say something really smart.
That's not smart. That's obvious.
No.
How is it not obvious?
You don't
Triple
like,
D, I'm not, no, I'm not trademarking.
Not trademark?
It.
All right.
I am being a little bit stricter with the trademarks.
Morning, guys. Colin White's tribute lasted longer than his time on the ice. That's from the B-Man. Wow.
Pretty close. I think the tribute was about 2.5.
Unsigned writes, did you guys hear the in the box is better chance during the game last night? Wow.
Okay, now you're just trolling there.
Just joking. Love you guys. That's from Unsigned. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. 647. Continue to share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We're going to get fully into Gary Bettman's. In fact, we'll listen back to Gary Bettman's visit with Steve Lloyd. From our pregame show last night. What is it, 7-8 minutes, something like that? Kind of went through all of the where we're at as far as the sale of the Sens and the location of a new arena, should there one be built with new ownership. You can hear from that coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. When we come back, we'll fill in the rest of the playoff picture after last night's game, and Lamar Jackson has asked officially out of Baltimore. Is he going to be on the move? And is Indianapolis potentially his home? Talk about that next on TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:53 on this Tuesday morning. It's JR and Hammer with you. Simmer's on holidays. Be back next week. All right, so Sens win 5-2 over Florida. Back within 5 of the final playoff spot. Got a bunch of teams to jump over. Florida being one of them. And obviously Pittsburgh, the team right now in that spot. The Islanders won as well. So they've now created a nice little buffer for themselves. So the Islanders, I don't say they're home and cooled, but they're pretty darn close. Pittsburgh is maybe the one spot potentially that's catchable. Pittsburgh, then Florida. Buffalo right now is equal with Ottawa. That's because they only got 1 point last night, not two. Let's take it to the shootout, round 6 against Montreal. This game, by the way, as you listen to this clip, is in Buffalo. But you'd be hard-pressed to know that given the reaction when Michael Pezzetta scores the winner.
Giving it to Michael Pezzetta with a chance to win it for the Canadiens. Pezzetta cuts in the middle, scores! And he rides the stick and gives it the point to all the fans.
I guess good on Marty San Luis. I'm not sure if he's trying to win these games, quite honestly, because of some of the guys he was throwing out there for the shootout. He had Kovacevic, the defenseman, in the shootout as well. It's kind of like, yeah, we got a point. I don't know if we want it. I don't know if management wants us to get the second point because of the lottery odds. Anyway, throws Pezzetta out there, who is known for two things, hair and fighting. Anyway, came in, beautiful shot, and then rides the hockey stick a la Tiger Williams from back in the day in front of the home in front of the visiting fans. It was crazy. I was watching that I flipped it over when the Sens game was over to watch it, and I thought that game was in Montreal. there were so many Montreal fans. And if somebody out there knows why there were on a Monday night, why there were so in a season that's completely lost for Montreal, why there were so many Montreal fans in Buffalo last night.
Maybe Snowbirds coming back north, a little detour through Buffalo. We'll take the long way back to Montreal. But I saw the highlight of Pezzetta's shootout goal muted, and I see him riding the stick and go, that's kind of odd to be showboating like that for an away game.
Yeah.
And then I rewound it, tossed on the volume, go, oh, I see why he did it. Yeah. It felt like and sounded like a home game.
That was crazy.
He was jacked up.
Yeah. Now, we're used to it, games in Buffalo. Well, we're used to it here in Ottawa. But games in Buffalo and Toronto as the visitor, I don't remember it being like that. I know that, look, there's a lot of Montreal fans all over Canada who will cross the border, and Buffalo's nice and close. I get all that. I don't remember it being like that. And I certainly wouldn't think it would be like that with eight games to go in the season when Montreal's been out of it for a couple of months. But Habs fans love to travel. And I guess they love to travel on a Monday night to Buffalo, and I guess the owners, the Pegulas, are more than happy to take their money.
And if you're a Sabre season ticket holder and you can help chip away at next season's season tickets, you can sell them to some Habs fans.
Yeah.
Go about your business.
Like there was one of, like, they kind of showed a shot basically of one section, lower bowl section in Buffalo last night, and it was completely full of Montreal fans.
How did that happen?
Yeah, you know, we could say the same thing happens here in Ottawa. Like the lower bowl when the Leafs are here and we'll be here on Saturday is, well, I remember I went to a game 3 or 4 years ago. And I literally, it was me and the guy I was with, and then all Leaf fans, all.
Did you guys get up and move?
No.
Yeah, we don't need to be here.
You know me.
You don't care.
Nah. I don't care. Anyway, Montreal wins, so that's a costly loss for Buffalo in terms of the just getting the loser point, as they, too, like the Sens, are 5 points back of the Penguins, although they are even in games played with Pittsburgh and have a game in hand on the Sens. So they actually, in terms of the points percentage, Buffalo is ahead of Ottawa. Florida is ahead of Ottawa right now. And, of course, Pittsburgh with 5 points. So that's why we say the Sens playoff hopes are slim, but they are still alive. Okay, quickly wanted to touch on, so NFL owners meetings began yesterday. This is an opportunity for the media to get together with owners and general managers and some coaches as well. You know, the Super Bowl is now well in the rearview mirror. Thoughts have turned after free agency has begun to next season. I would say the two big topics out there right now as we head toward the draft, which is a month from now. When is Aaron Rodgers getting traded to the New York Jets? We all know it's going to happen. And what is the package going to be? And maybe, but we all think that's going to happen. Just a matter of when it's going to happen. Well, what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson? So this is really interesting. Lamar Jackson tweeted out yesterday at the exact same time as John Harbaugh, his coach in Baltimore, was scheduled to speak, that he has asked for a trade. Now, he said he asked for the trade actually at the beginning of March. So the Ravens have known about this since the start of the month, but he didn't let everybody else in on it until yesterday. So as you can imagine, caused a bit of a firestorm. Here is Ravens head coach John Harbaugh's reaction.
Lamar's under contract, and that's the guy I'm. Of course, I'm. That's the guy I want to see be our quarterback. You know, that's my guy. We made a decision to go with Lamar Jackson 5 years ago, right? Why? Because we love him. We love him. We love the way he plays. We love his mindset, his charisma, his style, the way he is in the locker room. Everything about him, we love him. I love him personally. I love being the coach of the team that he's playing quarterback for. So, that's what you do. You know, you build a team around your players, and that's what I'm excited to do.
All that was missing from that was,
it's my quarterback.
That's all.
I don't see Harbaugh crying.
John, I like John Harbaugh. Like, he's a pretty straight shooter. If he had ended that whole diatribe there with that, that's my quarterback right there, that would have been absolutely perfect.
Do you think this is all money, or do you think Lamar's feelings are hurt? Do you think there's a little
This
crack in the relationship?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But this is the problem when players, doesn't matter the sport, but in this particular case, especially with non-guaranteed contracts in football, when players negotiate their own contracts. Like, the agent acts as your buffer. He is the guy that deals with the crap from the team and hears from the team when they're negotiating why they don't want to pay you X dollars, or in the case of Lamar Jackson, why they don't want to pay you a fully guaranteed contract, which is what he would like. He wants what Deshaun Watson got in Cleveland. The Ravens have kind of looked and said, you're a fantastic player. You've been great for us. You were the MVP in 2019. You've also ended the last 2 years on the injured list. So we want to protect ourselves a little bit. We don't want to give you a fully guaranteed contract. We'll give you lots of money, but we want to structure it that works a little bit better for us as well in case you continue to suffer from some injury. So it makes sense. But Lamar is negotiating his own contract, so it becomes personal because you're hearing it. There's no filter. There's no agent filter. There's no agent spin when he comes back to you and tells you, here's what the team is saying, when he kind of spin it and maybe make it sound a little bit better. Now you're getting it straight from the team, and that's why it's a damaged relationship. Can it be fixed?
Well, if I'm the team, I'm hoping I'm tiptoeing a little bit and I'm not blunt like it's salary arbitration in the NHL and it's Mike Milbury and Tommy Salo here and I want you to go to tears. But you're right. The agent keeps the emotion out of it, or at least keeps the emotion directly impacting the player, right? I'm going to soak up some of this negativity here.
Yep.
And I'm going to transform it into positivity when I talk to my client, and then let's work out this deal. From Lamar Jackson's point of view, why don't you have an agent? It can't be because you don't want to pay the, what is it usually, 2.5%, 5%, whatever it is, and negotiating a deal. Why would you want to subject yourself to this pressure of trying to make or break what probably will be your last massive deal, right? He wants something huge here.
I guess if you're getting 250, let's say it's $250 million that he's negotiating, and let's say just for sake of round numbers, it's the agent gets 5%. It's probably high, 5%, 13 million dollars. Probably worth it at the end of the day.
You still
got $237.5 million minus taxes to soothe your emotions. Anyway,
unless he's got outsiders in his family there that are in his ear and just giving him some bad advice, unfortunately.
It looks like it. So is it going to be rescuable? Well, to me, this is the number one story of the offseason. Aaron Rodgers notwithstanding, that's a deal that's going to get done. But this whole Lamar. So anyway,
who gets traded first?
Yeah.
Aaron or Lamar?
Well, apparently there is a suitor because Chris Ballard, who's the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, was asked yesterday because they need a quarterback. They've had a different starting quarterback each of the last four seasons. This just in, that's not usually a recipe for success when you have a different starter four straight years. So they don't have essentially anybody this year. They've got the fourth overall pick, but you're starting with a rookie quarterback. Who knows whether that's going to be a guarantee or not. So is there a match there? He said, I'm interested. He's a special player is what he said. So we'll see if there's some smoke, right? Fourth overall pick and maybe another first rounder, maybe two other first rounders for Lamar Jackson. Would you do that if you're the Colts and pay him the fully guaranteed? Does Lamar only need a guaranteed contract with the Ravens? Like, is he willing to accept a different kind of contract with another team? Like, has it gone so far down the road now with the Ravens where he can't turn back as well? Too many hard feelings. I don't want to show weakness. I don't want to give in on my side. These are all the questions to be answered. Fascinating stuff. All right, your thoughts on anything we chat about is welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll take a break. A top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. Hour two. We'll start our all-day 67th playoff ticket giveaway. Pair of tickets every single hour. You'll be listening for Kenny to say he scores in a Kenny Walls 67th kind of way. That's your cue to be caller 24 to win game one playoff tickets for Thursday night. We'll have that, and we're going to hear from Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner's visit to Ottawa, coming up next on TSN 1200.